We offer a warm welcome to each of you from the Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
One of Jesus' first tasks in his ministry was to recruit a team of players. He called these men his disciples or apostles. It's interesting. While his redemptive work is done, Jesus is still out recruiting disciples. We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we thank you that you have given us this exciting opportunity to be your witnesses in a world that knows little about you. We thank you that you are the one who has given us a message of light, and as we live in the midst of darkness, to let men and women know that you are the light of the world and that you can lighten up our lives and make them really count for that which is worthwhile. Hear our prayer. Speak to us this day through your holy word, for it is in your name that we pray. Amen.
Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O men,
rise up, O men of
His
God,
and
His
kingdom's
and
His love.
Bring
Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the first chapter of the Gospel of St. John, beginning with verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophet also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good ever come out of Nazareth?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. And when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. friends in Christ. I have a very close friend who coaches in the Big 12 Football Conference. Many times as we have been talking about that sport, I have heard him say, "Recruiting is a major part of my job. Putting together a winning team, men who have good morals, men who have talent, men who are really good people are necessary if you're going to have a winning group. Not all of the players have the same talents, but each would have his contribution to make." Well, I don't know if it's a good comparison, but today in our text, our Lord Jesus is out recruiting. Now, we're not very far away from Christmas, and we'll recall his birth. And then later on, we know that Herod tried to kill him, and they had to escape, went to Egypt. But before they went to Egypt, they had him circumcised when he was 8 days old. And then we know they presented him in the temple where they met Simeon when he was only 40 days old. And then when he was 12 years old, they took him to the temple. And there he got into a real discussion with some of the primary theologians of the day. Then we don't hear a word about him until he is 30 years old. Now that's where we have him. And he has been baptized. He has received the confirmation from his heavenly Father that the Father loves him, he is well pleased with him, and Jesus is to get on the job and to go and redeem the human race. That's where he is. But in order to bring the message of the gospel of Christ to this world, it was necessary for Jesus to have a group of disciples. So today he is out on one of those recruiting assignments, trying to find those who could really move into this world with the glorious knowledge that in Jesus Christ, lives can be changed, and when enough lives are changed, then a generation can be changed. He was looking for disciples whom he would train and then would send them out with a gospel that would really change this world. What kind of people was he looking for to be his disciples? I really don't know. And as I look at some of them and study their lives, I have some characteristics which we will bring out in this sermon at a later time. But to know just what Jesus was after, I guess I'd have to say I don't know, for certainly not all of them were alike. They did not have the same kind of personalities. Obviously, they did not have the same kind of talents. Some were extroverts, others were introverts. He settled on 12 men. And then after he had ascended into heaven, he added one more, Saul of Tarsus, who became known as St. Paul. And Saul, or Paul as we know him better, had a special assignment, and that was to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentile world. Now, there are 12 disciples then, and if you had an examination and you were asked to write down the names of all 12, could you do it? I asked my wife the other day, who is a very fine biblical scholar, and she said, no, I could not begin to do it. But she began to name some off, and who do you think was at the top of her list? Peter. You bet. Peter is one of those fellows. Well, if you turn to St. Luke's Gospel, in chapter 6, you have a very nice presentation of who these 12 are. And there's a prelude that says, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountain to pray and spent the night praying to God. Isn't that interesting? This was a matter of prayer all night, for he was going to choose 12 people who would carry the message of salvation to the far parts of the world. When morning came, he called the disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he had designated also to be called apostles. Now, I am assuming from this scripture passage that there probably could have been a larger number, Maybe there were 25, 30, 40, 50, I don't know. But out of that group, he selected the 12. Can't you just see those people? And what I'd like to do today is just go over these names rather quickly. We don't know very much about some, but it says that there was Simon. Simon, come forth, Jesus could have said. Later he called him Peter. And then he wanted his brother Andrew. James, John, Philip, and Bartholomew followed. Then Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus. And I'm sure the rest of the disciples there began to wonder, am I included? There were not too many more to be chosen. Then there was Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Wonder why Jesus ever chose him. Well, we'll find that out only when we get to heaven, I guess. But let's take a look at some of these. First one is Peter. He was known to be the quarterback, so to speak. He was the one who was always a spokesman for the crowd. He was the one who gave orders. I wonder if he could not have been the one where some of them often got irritated and thought, Peter, why don't you shut up and sit down? We've got something to say here, too. But he was just that kind of a vivacious individual. He was a person when Jesus said at Caesarea Philippi, who do you say that I am? There wasn't any silence, I'm sure, because Peter right away bounced back. He said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus must have been so happy with that confession that he said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Peter, but my Father who is in heaven, you're Peter. And on this rock, this confession, Peter, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Wow. Peter's stock must have gone up that day. And then it was Peter, together with a couple of others, that Jesus turned to in some rather difficult hours. It was Peter, James, and John who were with the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration when they were beginning to see that Jesus was now going to go to Jerusalem. There he would be delivered up, and there he would suffer and die for the sins of the world. It was in the Garden of Gethsemane that once more Peter was called, together with James and John, to be with their Lord in that very, very difficult time. It was Peter, you bet, who denied the Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, I'll never deny you. They all may run away from you, but you can count on me. I'll be with you to the very end. But it was Peter who, after the resurrection, by the sea, sat with Jesus and got some private time, some good counsel. And during the course of that time, I'm sure that Jesus said to him, Peter, I know how badly you feel. I know you never wanted to really to do it. But in that tense hour, you denied me. Now I forgive you. I forgive you. Learn from the experience and go out and tell the story that I am the crucified but the risen Lord and the answer to people's lives. It was Peter who then only a few days later stood in Jerusalem and preached that marvelous sermon on Pentecost Sunday. And the Holy Spirit was at work. And you know what happened? When he was all done preaching, 3,000 people came and confessed their faith in Jesus Christ and were baptized. And it was the birthday of the church. Now that's Peter. We know as much about him as any of the disciples. Then you come to John, the second one, the man that you would think perhaps most people knew too, because he left behind 5 books, which are a part of our New Testament. He left that marvelous gospel. He too was with Jesus in those critical hours. He gives us great insights into who Jesus is. He is not just satisfied to say that he is the baby who was born in Bethlehem's manger. He has to go on to say that he is a God incarnate. He is a God-man. He is far more than Mary's son. He is God who has come to this world to walk where we have walked, yet never to fall into sin. He is the one who points us out of this world. He wants us to know that while we're here, there will be a wonderful, refreshing experience if we walk with Jesus, though the days can be difficult. But he also wants us to know that when these days are over, that's not the end. You remember what he said to Mary and Martha when their brother Lazarus died? Oh, cheer up, Mary and Martha. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? He is the one who said to the disciples when he was telling them that now he had to go and be delivered up, I'll come back again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be in the midst of us. This was Jesus who was being presented by John. And then there was James, the third one, who was with Jesus in some of those most crucial hours. James, a brother of John, one time a fisherman, now a disciple of the Lord Jesus, he was the one who was so committed to the Savior that he gave his life. The first martyr for Jesus Christ was James. Don't know a whole lot more about him. Come down the list. Here's Matthew. He's an interesting person. He was a tax collector. He led a very lucrative career. Jesus is often criticized for choosing Matthew to be one of the disciples. After Matthew had been chosen, the Bible makes it pretty clear that he had a big dinner for Jesus. And who did he invite in? He invited in some other publicans and tax collectors. And the people stood outside and they said, how is it that Jesus can bring these individuals, tax collectors, with that terrible, terrible occupation, in and make one of them his disciples? And when Jesus heard that, it gave him an opportunity to say, you know what? I came into this world not to call righteous, but sinners to repentance. That was a whole new picture. And Andrew was a fellow also who was among the list, and he had a brother who, not a physical brother, but a brother in the faith by the name of Philip. You may say that they stood back just a little ways, but did they? You know, there's Philip, and that's what our text was today. He decided that he not only wanted to go with Jesus, but he knew somebody else who would make a great disciple too, and that man's name was Nathanael. When Jesus met Nathanael, he said, here is a person that I really want. He is a person who is true blue. It was Philip who Jesus turned to when they were going to feed 5,000 people, and they only had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Jesus turns and says, Philip, how are we going to feed them? And Philip must have answered back, Lord, I don't know. It would take more money than we have. We don't have the food. But about that time, Andrew, you know, Andrew, the one who was a brother of Peter, parenthetically, there would perhaps never have been a Peter if there had not been an Andrew. For it was Andrew who got a hold of his brother Peter and said, Peter, the Lord is here. And he introduced his brother to the Messiah. Well, back to Andrew. It was Andrew who said when Philip got the question from Jesus, how are we going to feed them? Well, Andrew says to Jesus, there's some little boy over here. He's got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Would that do any good? And there must have been a laugh that went up. That's who they were, ordinary people. And then others that we know practically nothing about. Thomas, we did know that he doubted a little bit, and Jesus had to help him. Then there's James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Zealot. And then again, that dropout. With such a sad ending, Judas Iscariot. Probably a lot of people still remember him. Because sometimes when we're dishonest, a person might say to us, oh, you're nothing but a Judas, meaning dishonest. He went out and killed himself. It never would have had to have been if he had only turned to Jesus. Jesus would have granted him the forgiveness of his sins and given him a chance to start over, just as he did with Peter's denial. Well, that's a very, very quick rundown of the disciples. But what did we learn from this brief study? As I understand it, I learned that there is a place for all of us in carrying the gospel. There's someone in this world that you and I can better share the gospel with than any other person. That's right. Better than anyone else. And that's the person that our Lord asks us to go to. There would have been no Peter without an Andrew, as I've already said. Maybe we're not to be the star. Maybe we're not to be the one who stands out in front and tells the millions of people about Jesus Christ. But I tell you, friend, we could introduce somebody to Jesus Christ who could become just that. We learn from this that if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, you've got to be honest. You've got to be true blue. Nathaniel was that. We learn from Thomas that even though you have to fight some doubts once in a while, our Lord Jesus Christ is not going to write you off because of that. Not at all. He still will want you. We learn that there are so many people behind the scenes but have done such a mighty work for the Lord Jesus. There's Billy Graham. There's Chuck Colson. And I was given a book for Christmas that I'm just enjoying so much, Robert Schuller. Robert Schuller has touched the lives of a lot of people with the gospel of the Savior. But do you know who's behind Robert Schuller? Oh, his wife, of course, and his father, mother, and years earlier. But he had a sister. And when Bob Schuller thought he could not go to college and to seminary because of finance, that sister said, "I'll pay your tuition." See what happened? There are those of us who have another role to play, not like the greats, whether we lay or clergy. But God is still out recruiting, and today he's recruiting you. First to know him personally, and then to share that glorious message of Jesus and his love with the people of this world. Amen.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for you and for me. Patient and loving, he's waiting and watching for you and
pray with me. Father in heaven, help us to know that today there are those hearts that are heavy. Some of them are sick and shut in, elderly. Some of them, O God, we will meet in our play and in our work. Lord, help us to understand, especially if we know you as our Savior, that you have recruited us, whether we be a Peter or a Thomas, to tell them the story of Jesus and his love. In whose name we pray, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We praise God for his provision and thank our faithful listeners for your gifts and your prayers necessary to make this ministry a reality. Your gifts allow us to buy radio time throughout the country and internet access around the world to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. Pastor Larson writes the feature article for each issue. To receive this newsletter free of charge, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Again, our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Pastor Larson's sermons are available to be read or printed. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Christian Crusaders is now in its 67th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.